There's a part of our anatomy whose power far exceeds its size. And of course, as you could tell by my prayer, we're talking about the tongue. The gift of speech is one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. Think for a moment. The influence of the words of Jesus over these past 20 centuries. How many lives have been changed? How many families have been rescued simply because of the words of Christ? However, wrongly used, speech can do immeasurable harm. It is estimated that for every word written in Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, 125 people lost their lives in World War II. You know, Proverbs 18:21 makes a very true statement. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when we come to James chapter 3, James addresses this most powerful but diminutive part of our body. And basically, we need to ask ourselves the question, am I using my tongue for good or for bad? Or probably for most of us, a mixture of both. And how can I utilize it more for the good and less for the bad? Notice in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, he emphasizes the extraordinary influence of the tongue. In the first four verses, he emphasizes the tongue's power for good. There are three statements, three thoughts that emphasize the tongue's power for good. Notice in verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who are teachers will be judged with greater strictness. In this verse, the scripture is telling us that using our tongue for good as a teacher creates accountability. You know, here we kind of have a positive wrapped up in a warning about how we speak, how we teach. We will be held accountable for what we teach. Now, why does this verse say teachers will be judged with greater strictness? There's a greater amount of accountability for teachers. It's because of their influence. Many of you can look back on a teacher as you were growing up that just made a very simple observation about you, your gifts, your abilities, and that totally changed the trajectory of your life. Just the impact of that one simple statement. Judgment will be according to the principle that increased influence means increased responsibility. The greater the impact upon others, the greater accountability we will have. And this judgment, as he says in verse 1, we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, will occur at the, what I believe, will occur at the judgment seat of Christ. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the scripture says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. using it brings accountability. So use it for good. Secondly, in verse 2, using our tongue demonstrates maturity. How you use your tongue demonstrates your maturity, the level of your maturity in Christ. The scripture says, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man." Now, please understand, when James uses the word perfect, as he did in chapter 1, he has the idea of full grown, mature. He is a mature man, able also to bridle his whole body. You see, friends, apparently, sin breaks out the quickest and the easiest in the tongue. And what James is saying here is, if you can bridle that thing, if you can bring that thing under control, you are a mature individual. I've shared this story several times with you. Some of you will go, "Oh no, here it goes again." Others of you, it'll be brand new. So here it goes. Pastor went to a church as the new pastor. And he kept hearing about Sister So-and-so. Literally, quote unquote, never had a bad word to say about anybody. This pastor said, I find that difficult to believe, said to himself. So he watched her for weeks and months. He listened to what she said, and it was true. He never heard her say a word of gossip, a word of criticism, an uncomely word about anyone, anytime, anywhere. So he finally went up to her and said, "Dear Sister So-and-so, when I first came here, I heard that you never had a bad word to say about anybody. And not only did I hear that about you, I've watched for that in you. And I have observed that you never have anything bad to say about anybody." And she replied, "Well, I try to look for the good in people, look for the best." And he said, "Let me ask you a question." He kind of broke out in this mischievous, ungodly smile for a pastor. "Tell me one good thing you can say about the devil." He crossed his arms and stepped back. Sister So-and-so thought for a moment, and she said, "Well, he certainly works hard at what he does." Now, folks, if she could see one good thing about the devil, I think you can see good things about your other brothers and sisters in Christ. Even those rowdy neighbors that you have that keep you up all night. You can see at least something good in them. But not only using our tongue positively demonstrates maturity and also provides accountability, but thirdly, using our tongue guides intentionally. Verses 3 and 4. Here's where James emphasizes the smallness of the tongue versus the greatness of its impact. "If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs." How many young people have been encouraged to go into Christian ministry or to serve the Lord because of just a very simple word said by a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader or a pastor. Note in these verses, as James is going to be pointing out through this passage, the smallness of the bit that directs a powerful horse, and the smallness of a rudder that directs a large ship. The tongue's influence for good is far beyond its diminutive size. But on the other hand, verses 5 through 8, the tongue's influence for bad exceeds its diminutive size. And James points out three propositions of the negative use of the tongue. Number one, it boasts a lot. Number two, it burns hot. And number three, it's controlled not. Had to really work at that outline, folks. Notice in verse 5, he says, the tongue boasts a lot. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 tell us, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. In 1971, Life magazine was interviewing Muhammad Ali prior to his fight with Joe Frazier. And Ali's conversation with the interviewer went like this. There seems to be some confusion. We're going to clear this up on March 8th. We're going to decide once and for all who is king. There's not a man alive who can whoop me. Jabs the air several times with that devastating left jab. I'm too smart, taps his head. I'm too pretty. I am the greatest. I am the king. I should be a postage stamp. That's the only way I could get licked. P.S. Ali lost the fight to Frazier. The tongue boasts a lot. But notice, secondly, the tongue burns hot. The second half of verse 5, how great a forest fire is set ablaze, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. How many times have you heard on the news, or perhaps read in the paper, of a great fire, you know, out west in California, where they have four seasons? Fire season, mud season, dry season, and whatever other bad season there is. Why anybody would want to live out there, I have no idea. Tax season. Yeah, you could put that out there. But how many times have you heard of all this acreage being blackened, and the source was someone carelessly flicking out a cigarette butt. How great a forest is set by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. He calls it literally the world of the unrighteousness. No other member of our body has the comparable power and range of influence for evil. Think about it. The tongue can give utterance to every evil thought. The tongue can give utterance to every evil motive. And the tongue can put into words every evil deed. And notice, he says, the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. The word James uses is the same word Jesus used, Gehenna. That's a description of the lake of fire. It was the valley outside of Jerusalem where they burned the garbage. And it was known for its continual burning. That's the word Jesus used to describe hell, the lake of fire, Gehenna. And James says that's the source of the power for bad of the tongue. Proverbs 16:27 tells us, a worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. The tongue burns hot. But notice, thirdly, in verses 7 and 8, the tongue is controlled? Not. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, you may be out there sitting and thinking, I hope you're thinking, well, Pastor Larry, how can you preach a sermon on controlling the tongue when the Bible says no man can tame the tongue? Did that thought cross your mind? Well, yeah, it did, because you just said it. Since we cannot control the tongue, friends, we must control the heart. You see, Jesus said it well in Matthew 12, verse 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't control the mouth. The mouth simply reveals what is in the heart. So if you're going to control your tongue, you've got to control what you allow in your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Many of you would remember that in the King James Version. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The extraordinary influence of the tongue for good, but also for bad. Now, we can be thankful James wrote this passage nearly 2,000 years ago, because all he had to write about was the tongue. If he were writing it today, he would include the fingers on the computer keyboard. Hello? Are you with me? Facebook? Instagram? Twitter? Before you choose to post that reply, ask yourself, is this for good or for bad? Am I just getting my pound of flesh? Am I just getting even? Or am I speaking words of life to help a person? Verses 9 through 12 take us into this territory. And the emphasis in these verses is on the enormous inconsistency of the tongue. Verses 1 through 8, the extraordinary influence of the tongue. Verses 9 through 12, the enormous inconsistency of the tongue. And there are two realms that James dips into in speaking about the tongue's inconsistency. First of all, the theological realm. Look at verses 9 and 10. With it, the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. In the first century church, especially the Jewish church, when an individual would read a scripture or share a testimony about God, many times, traditionally, the congregation would say, "Blessed be he," referring to God. And so James picks up on that and says, here in the church service, you say, "Blessed be he," and then when you get out the church doors, you're criticizing maybe even the very one whose words you pronounced a blessing upon. He said, that's not the way it ought to be. Christian Worker had written a well-known tract entitled, "Come to Jesus." It was greatly used of God in winning many people to Christ. Sometime afterward, however, he was involved in a theological argument and became so angry with his opponent that he sat down and wrote a scorching, devastating article against him. And he intended to publish it with all its sarcasm and invectives as an open letter in the local paper. Before sending it in, he asked a friend to read it and give it a title. His brother in Christ read it carefully, but with increasing distress. When he finished, he suggested that it be called "Go to the Devil" by the author of "Come to Jesus." Not only is the tongue inconsistent in the theological realm, but then notice in verses 11 and 12, the tongue is consistent when compared to the natural realm. The consistency of the material, the natural creation, condemns man's glaring inconsistency of the tongue. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So how, dear friend, do you become a doer of the word by controlling your tongue? I think there are three crucial propositions that this passage has revealed for us. Number one, positively use your speech to benefit others. Point out the good attributes of others. Even though there are a dozen bad ones, point out the good attributes of others to others. You know, it's like the old World War II song says, you got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Thank you, Aaron. You got me to fix on it. Accentuate the positive. Use your speech to benefit others. But negatively, recognize the seriousness of sinful speech. You know, I think many times our problem is we don't see the seriousness of the sin of some of our speech. It's not so bad. I mean, compared with other sins, my gossiping, my backbiting, my posts on the internet, they're not near as bad as some other sin. Oh, really? Look at the end of Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. And see where the Apostle Paul places sins of the tongue in this list of sins. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness and covetous malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. Wow. Four words removed from murder. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Folks, realize that sins of the tongue are right in the same sinful categories, the same sinful lists as haters of God and murderers. You see, someone a number of years ago in our church made this point to me, and I thought, wow, that really helps me understand. She said to me, you know, we look at sin on a horizontal plane. And because of that, if you, for example, you look at buildings, you'll see tall buildings and small buildings. And we look at sin that way. Big sins and not so big a sin. Smaller sins. And we look at those and think, well, you know, my sin is a small sin. Not a big sin like somebody else is committing. She said, but that's the wrong way to look at it. We need to look at sin the way God looks at sin. He looks at it in a vertical dimension. He's looking down on our lives. Have you ever flown over a city in an airplane? A 50-story building looks the same size as a 2-story building because you're looking down on it. She said, that's the way sin is to God. Sin is sin to God. There are no big sins, little sins. Sin is sin when it comes to God. And I'm like, wow, that's helpful. That helps me understand. Folks, we need to see the sins of our speech in all of its seriousness before God. So positively, use your speech to benefit others. Negatively, recognize the seriousness of sinful speech. And thirdly, diligently, watch what you allow in your heart. Watch the music you listen to. Be careful. Watch the movies you observe. Be careful. I mean, folks, face it, the contemporary music culture and the contemporary movie culture is just full of profanity-laced stuff. And you keep letting that stuff into your heart, it's going to come out one day, because Jesus said it would. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The tongue is a small member, but incredibly powerful. For good or for bad? Have you used your tongue this week? Which way has it leaned toward? Well, you can't do anything about this last week other than confess. How you going to use your tongue this week? Let's pray. Thank you, Father in heaven, for your word. And thank you, Lord, how it challenges us to live right, to do right, to speak right. And God, I pray that those that need to say, Lord, forgive me for what I've said. Lord, forgive me for what I posted. Lord, forgive me for being critical and gossipy, that they would do that. And Lord, help us all to be carriers of speech that builds up other people rather than tears them down. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.